The band is right in front of us. We're going to let you enjoy the Boston College Band, accompanied by Steve D'Ossi.
Singing all the words I know. Boston, for Boston, we sing the proud refrain. That's it. I learned some more. That's awesome. I love this stuff. Huh? That's a good-looking band.
Here comes the band, and there goes the band. There you go.
Nice. Now, they're going to be cold tonight. They're going into the stadium, what, in the next half hour? Oh, we're getting... Ready?
We're getting the full Monty here. Are. This is nice.
What, you don't know the words to the song?
I don't.
Huh?
Boston for Boston. Please refrain.
What are you talking about? Please refrain.
Go ahead and go beat Clemson. You'll be on the national map if you do. I know. Is this the players? Are these the players?
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Here come the Eagles.
Another tradition they started with Adazio. These guys all come to the game in jacket and ties. They all got their blue blazers on? Yep.
So if we're not doing a good job conveying this, Steve D'Ossi and Butch Stearns were outside of Gate E, where the players are now entering the stadium. The BC players all in their blue blazers, shirts and ties, getting ready for maybe the moment of a lifetime to take on the Clemson Tigers, the number two team in the country. If you've been listening up to this point, been reminiscing with Steve about his days at BC and some of the moments like this he went through.
They're awful small, Steve.
What was the biggest game you played here, Steve?
Here? Clemson. Clemson and then Texas A&M and Penn State.
Oh, I remember the Aggies game. I remember that. Yeah.
That's kind of a cool tradition he started. The players march from the opposite side of the stadium around into the locker room with the band on the edge of the sidewalk and the fans lining the street. I kind of like that. That's pretty cool.
All right, if you'd like to join us on the phones, the number as always here on WEEI is 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937.
Aren't you fired up now?
I am fired up.
You got a band. You got the guys walking into the stadium.
Well, I've done enough tailgate shows with you and Fred and everything, and we talk enough football.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you feel the same way I do. Like, I love football, and every time the fall rolls around and I smell the cut grass, there's one part of me that still wants to go out and hit somebody, right?
No, I know.
But then my body quickly reminds me.
That's right.
I ain't hitting nobody unless it's with my vehicle.
I'm watching the players walk by. I'm like, I was never that young. They look like teenagers. I was like, you know what?
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go to the phones right now. Tommy from Brighton is on the line. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, what's up? What's up, man?
How you doing?
Steve.
Yes.
Nice shout-out for Brighton, though, but you forgot to mention the Fidelis Way project.
Ah, that's right. It could have been Faneuil. It could have been the Faneuil project. It was Fidelis. The Way. That's what we just called it, The Way. All right?
Yeah, The Way, brother. And as a matter of fact, they're having a reunion coming up at the Brighton Elks in a couple of weeks.
Very nice.
All right. So go on Fidelis Way and friends.
Okay.
And, make a special appearance.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Tommy, how old are you?
I'm 59.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we're all the same age. So
yeah.
Quick thoughts about BC football. And to you, what does this game mean tonight, if anything?
I think BC's got a nice defense. Love the Bletzers. But Clemson is too overpowering. And I love Coach Jack White. I've been to a couple of games this year. And they got a good team, but I don't think they have it. Clemson's too strong.
Well, they should. I mean, they're favored by 20 points.
Yep.
I mean, Clemson's supposed to win this game.
I think they're universally thought of as the second best team in the country, and they might be one of only maybe four teams that could give Alabama a run for the money. Alabama's quarterback is incredible. This kid here from Clemson is tremendous, but that kid from Alabama is in a different league, so it'll be interesting to see the talent level here. I love watching very very talented people do their job in this. And the three times I've seen them on TV, that talent level of Clemson is incredible.
I would think that again, if BC does have a chance tonight, the college is a big part of it. And here's what I mean by that: when you get to the pros, there's systems, there's schemes, there's this and that. How many times have we seen guys be great college players that just they don't make it in the pros because of different stuff. So when you get to a game of this magnitude in a David versus Goliath situation, I would think one of the extremes could very easily happen. A blowout because the team is so much better and so much talented, or David all of a sudden comes up, casts the stone, and has a shot in this game.
Yeah.
You know, because it's college, right? Because emotion plays more into it. Because even though Clemson has played big-time college football, it's colder weather. They come up there. They might not be used to this. They haven't done it for a lot of times.
It's easy to overlook somebody, although BC over the last 3 or 4 weeks has proven that they're a pretty good team. Not obviously not in that upper echelon of college teams, but they've had some good wins and they've had some success lately. And sometimes success begets success, and you start feeling a little bit. You play a little bit over your head, and the one thing you do worry about too is that this is a big game. ESPN did College Game Day live here all day, and Clemson's number two, and it's a nationally televised game, and you wonder if some guys from BC might. That might be too much of a moment for them. These kids from Clemson, a lot of these kids have played in the spotlight for a good number of games. Is that big stage too much for some of these guys at BC? That's a legit question because I can remember our first nationally televised game. I think it was freshman year against Pittsburgh, and they had Dan Marino and. Hugh Jackson, Hugh Green, and just a ridiculous team, Randy McMillan. And I just remember, I was probably too naive and too young. I was only 17. I was like, this is great. Let's do this. But had I had a chance to think about it, I'd been like, holy crap, we're on national TV. That's Keith Jackson calling my name. What the heck's going on here? That could have been a panic situation.
Right.
I don't see that here at BC. These kids are well-versed, but there's something to the big stage that being comfortable on the big stage is not always easy. Clemson has much more of a history both with the coaching staff and their players being on big stage.
I would argue that the best thing for both teams here in the long run, meaning before the end of this season, would be to have a competitive football game tonight. Like, look, if Clemson is in a bang-bang game that comes down to the end and they pull it off, they're not going to lose their ranking. They might fall behind Notre Dame if Notre Dame dominates,
right.
But I doubt it. But still, with the college football playoff, all you got to be is in the top four,
right.
And if they go to 3-2, it doesn't matter because 2 and 3 are going to play each other and all that. So that's my argument from the Clemson side. From the BC side, obviously, if it's a competitive football game, that's huge for them.
It is. And it's still dropping down in the rankings some, but it'll affect the big picture and maybe even propel them to, you compete against the second best team in the country. Now, all of a sudden, you're more confident going into who they got. I know Syracuse is left, and is it Florida State?
I'm losing all my power.
Might
I can't pull
Florida State.
Next week they play Florida State.
Yes, okay. and then Syracuse after that, I think. So
Syracuse having a heck of a year.
Yeah, they are. That's the thing. This game, there's any number of ways this game can affect both teams. Clemson's been there. Clemson's been in this situation where they've been able to close seasons out, and that's one of the biggest things a coach can do is keep a team focused through a full season of 12 games, and especially when some of those games are a blowout against Louisville, that wasn't even a contest after
right.
the first drive,
the last touchdown of the game was scored by the coach's son.
Right. It's one of those things where you look at and you just, what's the best case scenario for Clemson? Clemson come in here and dominate the way they've dominated before. I can't see them scoring 77. That would be absurd. But they're in a position now where they're on cruise control and they know how to do it. Not cruise control in terms of taking things for granted, but they understand where they are, what they have to do. This coaching staff has been there before.
Amend what you said a little bit or disagree a little bit. When I said the best scenario for Clemson is coming here in a bang-bang game and pull something out, in the long run, here's what I mean. Of course, if they dominate, they're supposed to, right?
Right.
But if they come in here and they got a tiger by the tail,
right,
and they do what it takes to win in a close game at the end,
yeah,
aren't they better off heading into the the college football playoffs for an experience
those,
like that?
Those are always, and again, it's how your coaching staff approaches it. If you can make it a learning experience for the guys and facing adversity, they haven't faced a ton of adversity
right.
this year.
Right.
They've had a couple of close games here and there, but they've been rolling up on their opponents. So, yeah, anytime you can learn from a game, anytime you can take something away to improve your team, it's going to be great. But, you know, you look at Notre Dame's schedule. Notre Dame doesn't have anybody left on their schedule. They're going to finish the season undefeated. Now, I would assume that that Clemson feels they have to do the exact same thing.
617-779-7937 if you'd like to join us. Again, that number is 617-779-7937. I'm Butch Stern, Steve D'Ossi alongside. We are outside of Gate E at Alumni Stadium with our cast and crew. Crowd is starting to file in. The players just walked by us. The band has come by us. BC's going to take on Clemson at 8 o'clock. We're going to be here till about 7:25, leading up to John Mita Perrell and Pete Cronin's call. You can listen to the game right here on 93.7 if you are driving around. But, again, it is a huge event. It is Boston College taking on the number two team in the country, the Clemson Tigers. And Steve D'Ossi, the big celebrity that he is here at Boston College. People coming up wanting to take pictures, have some fun. We will take your phone calls if you'd like to chime in. Yes, we're talking Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, Tuca, all that stuff if you'd like to. But this is the big event of the weekend and the big event of the night with Boston College taking on Clemson. And it's kind of fun to reminisce, for me anyway, hopefully for some of you out there who are old enough to remember some of the big college football games that BC has had over the years. We've talked a lot about when Stevie and I went into college and back in the 80s, but let's go back to, you know, Glenn Foley and Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And some of the places that those, and I just mentioned them because they were the quarterbacks and most recognizable guys. But, of course, Glenn Foley in 1994 and the Holy War with Notre Dame and David Gordon with the kick. I mean, for BC, for people
as
to follow.
As big as it gets for BC.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a signature moment
yep.
in the history of Boston College, that
yeah,
game.
And not only was it the number one team, it was Notre Dame, you know, which is even. You know, BC in terms of athletics has always been the little, you know, the little brother to Notre Dame. So to be able to pull that one off at Notre Dame, which has made it even more incredible. And when you look back at great wins by this program, that's you got to put that on top of all of them. Back in the mid to late 70s when they beat Texas was number one.
Yeah.
That was a huge win. But that team
was Freddie on that team?
He was, yep. And another friend of mine, Carl Swanky, was there too. That was a huge – I even paid attention to that when I was in high school. So it was – you know, those are signature wins. This could be every – almost as big as a Notre Dame game, as a Notre Dame win.
Well, when I go back to 84, we all remember, of course – you know, the game after Thanksgiving with Doug Flutie in Miami, the Miracle Miami, but
yep.
with Gerard Phelan and Bernie Kosar as the quarterback of Miami and how big that was. But I think to, like, this week, I can't remember the game that it was, but think about it. BC's 7-2 right now.
Yep.
And so the game before that game or a couple games before that, there was another big win I remember, which took, like think about BC. They were, I think, 7-6 last year.
Yep.
Went to the, I forget the name of the bowl they went to, but they could very easily end up with the same type of year this year. Or think of if they win this game.
Right.
Where they could go. Now, to your point, they still got some big games left.
They do.
They could win this game and still end up 8-4 or
Florida
whatever.
Florida State's not near the program that they used to be. I mean, they're struggling hard. They could beat Florida State. That's not an issue. Syracuse is a much better team than people anticipated at the beginning of the season. So, you find, I mean, it's crazy to think this. It's almost crazy to think this. But imagine finishing 10-2.
Yeah.
That would be.
Well, that's my point about 1984. As a kid who was in his 20s back then and growing up and loving college football, Ohio State, Michigan, Auburn, Alabama, yeah. UCLA, USC, to all of a sudden have Doug Flutie take us,
right.
New England college football fans, to the places where, you know, sacred ground.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the Cotton Bowl, they're going to the Cotton Bowl.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And all this stuff, it was in be a top 10 team.
Yeah.
I
yep.
mean, so to your point, if they win this game, everything's possible. It changes everything.
It does, but again, there's also been a history of BC stubbing their toes after some big wins
yes.
too. But they've got an opportunity here again. we're not blind to the obvious. This is a very, very, very difficult game to win, but just imagine.
Well, you just said it. They have an opportunity. They got a shot. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bob in a car. Butch Stearns and Steve D'Ossi outside of Alumni Stadium getting ready for BC and Clemson. Hello, Bob.
Hey, I'm just driving in. I just wanted to remind, I was telling people all day today that the weather gets colder. I still remember when I was younger, man, and watching Steve D'Ossi throwing snowballs on his chest as they were playing Alabama, and those guys in the South don't like this weather, so... I think the best thing that's going on right now is that people are talking about BC. So yeah, you know, they're playing the best, but it's been so long since they've been talking about BC. They're getting a lot. There's more stories in the Globe this week than there's been all year. So
yeah,
it's just a real positive thing. And to throw out one thing, that new AD at BC, he's doing a great job. The guy's got unbelievable energy.
What's your, Bob, if you don't mind my asking, where are you from? How old are you? What's your connection with BC football?
My connection to BC, well, I'm almost 70 years old. My connection to BC is my dad took me to the first game at Alumni Stadium back when they played Navy, and they were outmatched that day, so I'm not naive to seeing what happens. But I've been watching BC for a long, long time, and... you know, every once in a while they get one. I was out in South Bend the year that they got the revenge game and knocked Notre Dame off. So, it can happen.
And, it can.
And like I said, they're talking about BC football, and that's a great thing. So
it certainly is.
I just remember that game with you was the day after Thanksgiving, and the guys in the South don't like this weather, so we'll see what happens.
So whatever it takes. That's what, you know. He brought up the AD.
Thanks.
Martin Germain, the AD out of the Ohio State program, had an opportunity before the Miami game to have lunch with him and talk to him and a young guy, but energetic with a good focus. And he was talking about that Miami game as a hump game, getting you win that game, now all of a sudden you're in the conversation, and then you got you play, was it Virginia Tech last week, not Virginia Tech, you go you have the opportunity to do some big things. And I was excited listening to him because he had a lot of energy and a lot of passion for what he wants from BC, not just in football. He wants to elevate the level of all the sports here. The idea that they brought someone in from Ohio State, probably a good sign. I mean, he's an up-and-comer. I'm not sure if he's going to be here forever. But
yeah, that's okay.
But
happens in the pros, too. Right?
It happens in
stepping stones.
It's happened with the coaches, too, here.
Yep.
So it's one of those things where he was big. He brought the against Miami, they had the 83 team reunion and the 93 team reunion, and it was just they had a nice event for us here, and it was a great opportunity to get to meet him and get to meet the coaches and talk to a bunch of the guys you played with. But I agree with him about the AD. I like what he's doing. I like the direction he's taking this, and I love the energy and the enthusiasm the guy has. I'm a reasonable judge of people. He seems dedicated to what he wants to accomplish here.
Let's go back to the phones. Go to Dave, who's next. Hello, Dave.
Oh, we lost Dave.
Okay, we lost Dave.
Oh,
we're going to take a break. We're going to warm up here. By the way, we are more than receptive to like a steak tip sub or some barbecue that you got out there if you'd like to feed Steve and I, bring over something. You know, we're on the air, so we can't have an alcoholic beverage.
What?
For now, anyway.
Not anymore? What? Excuse me?
But if you're out there and you're close enough to us at Gate E outside of Alumni Stadium, you got some barbecue or some stuff, we can take it on. Payola plug over. We'll worry about that later. Quick break. We're back with more on WEEI. Sing, Stevie, sing.
Boston,
hey, where's Freddie, by the way?
Boston, he's down in Marianne's holding down the fort.
Huh?
Marianne's still there. I've been driven by Cleveland Circle in a while.
Doesn't that big galoot, does he show up here at BC anymore?
No.
Why?
No. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I have no idea.
He's such a cartoon character.
He's the best. He's the best. I don't know. Marianne's still there. I'm not sure.
How?
When I first came back to Boston... I lived in 94. I lived in Brookline and went for a run. I was going to go up Beacon Street and around the reservoir. And I'm jogging by Mary Ann's, and all of a sudden the smell hits me like a wall. I'm like, oh, my God, I spent so many hours in that place. Is that how it smelled? I don't remember it in college smelling like that, but I'm sure it was just like old stale beer and hot dog. It's just, oh, I think it's still there. I'm not sure. I don't know. That was you're talking about BC institutions? Mary Ann's was an institution. Yeah. That was the place.
How good a football player was Freddie when he was at BC?
Freddie was one of the few guys I actually would pay attention to. I probably went to maybe three BC games when he was playing, and he was different because he was stronger and faster than anyone on any interior line position that they played against at all. It was almost like he was doing like Bruce Lee moves with his hands but with some strength. I mean, he was doing like swatting guys around and throwing people around. In college, there's I don't remember anybody ever being better at nose tackle than he was. Not even Mike Ruth. Mike Ruth was a great nose tackle, but that was all pure strength.
I also remember Freddie telling me this story numerous times when he obviously had a great college career and he ended up being All-American and playing with some of the best, you know, when he was going into the NFL, the best players in the country. And he talked about playing in those all-star games like the East-West game or whatever it was. But when he got there, he said that New England athletes in football were underrated because they didn't expect him to be as strong, as fast, and as tough as he was.
Right.
And he would always credit the whole thing about New England, the weather, everything, playing games up here.
Growing up in Waltham.
Yeah, right.
You know, growing up in the projects, doing whatever. Right. And there was something something different about the guys, you know, the guys that that played here. And when you talk about B.C., you're talking about some, you know, of course, Doug at quarterback was a great quarterback, but go to offensive line and go to defensive line and go to a few linebackers.
Steve Cipriello, you know. Paul Zukauskas was a good buddy. I mean,
Chris
who am I
Snee,
forgetting?
The kid who played the Jets for a long time.
Pete Kendall.
A mean, ornery beast and big and strong too, right?
And the greatest guy in the world.
The greatest guy. But think about those guys. What was their hallmark? What was the common thread of all those guys? Tough guys.
Toughness.
And even go back to, you know, some of the guys that played in the 80s even the 70s. There were tough guys that came out of BC in the offensive line. And when they had
but you know what, Steve? That legacy continues.
But there was a brief period there. Was it Jagosinski, the coach here?
Yeah.
Where he got away from.
Yeah, he started to get into a finesse type.
Right.
He
got away from it, and I remember having a conversation with him, saying, you know, hey, listen, you're not gonna have those athletes. You got to get big, mean, tough offensive linemen that'll drive people out of there and do it with an attitude. And he got away from it. And there was a period there where, remember, I mean, it was always a BC offensive lineman, first round, second round, every single year. But Jags got away from that, and now it's coming back. Now it's coming back to the point where it's where the BC offensive line is tough, ornery, hardworking guys.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Jake in Boston, Butch Stearns and Steve D'Ossi outside of Alumni Stadium. What's up, Jake?
Yeah, hi, guys. I was at BC with Fred. I was captain of the wrestling team.
Yep.
So I tried to get him to come out for wrestling, so I went over to the football facility to work out with him. I weighed 150. And I see him getting ready to start his bench press workout. So I get down on the bench first with 310 and do it twice. Everyone in the room is looking at me because I'm the smallest guy there. He's like, hey, not bad, little guy. Then he does three sets of 20.
Yeah.
Freddie?
Dude, he's benching 450 in high school.
Do you want to know something? I think everybody has a Fred weight room bench press story. I had one from Braintree High School because he came in, he had a heavyweight wrestling match.
Yep.
He took the best wrestler we had, who was one of the best in the state, pinned him in like 30 seconds, and then went to the weight room.
Yeah.
And the principal, the late, great John Leroy, whose nickname was the Bear, came in and said, Smirlis, show me what you got. And Freddie, just like you said, pumped up like 20 reps with everything maxed on the thing. He said, yeah, there you go. He goes, good, good.
Well, Freddie, as great a football player as Freddie was, he was one of the best high school wrestlers in the history of New England.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, and I love it because he tells a story about how, to your point, his average match in high school lasted about 20 seconds his senior year. And I was like, yeah, wow, that's pretty good. He goes, it would have been a lot better, but this one guy from Lowell ran away from me for like 3 minutes. And the minute I finally got a hold of him, I pinned him in about 4 seconds. But if he hadn't run away from me, it would have been a lot better.
I know you're going to say his wrestling matches lasted longer than his sex life.
Dude, it's I'm telling you. And when you watch Freddie play nose tackle in college and in the pros, three-yard box, he owned it.
His first game, when he first year in Buffalo,
yep.
He picked up a fumble and I think ran it in for a touchdown. But to watch him run was hilarious.
Oh, still
so
is.
You were – Freddie did not wrestle at BC?
No.
No, he went. He was the best wrestler ever accepted there.
Oh, I know.
That's why I wanted him.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't. He didn't. He was committed to what he was doing with the football. So.
Oh, he was. Now you and I talked once, Stevie, in South Boston at the Castle Island one morning.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A long time ago.
Yep.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
617-779-7937. We're going to be up here till just after 7 o'clock. Again, it's BC Clemson tonight here at Alumni Stadium. Going to be an interesting night. It is cold and windy.
It is.
And it is raw New England football weather.
You know, we were talking with Meter earlier about this defense, this BC defense is going to be taxed against Lawrence. This Clemson quarterback is exceptional. But you've got two guys, and it's been a while since I've seen this type of athleticism at linebacker for BC. Last time I saw it was Herzlick and Keekley.
Yep.
Herzlick's junior year was probably the best single linebacker season I've ever seen at BC.
Really?
I mean, I actually remember coming to three games and on the sidelines just to watch him. He was that good. These kids out here, they're even more athletic.
Really?
They're incredibly athletic. They seem like they have the discipline that it takes. I've been watching Ray and I was watching against Miami. They were having no problem whatsoever. They lost contain a couple times, but that was just from a little bit of enthusiasm or whatever. These two guys can make a little difference tonight.
As we're sitting here talking about the weather and the elements and, you know, as good as this quarterback is, how this could be a factor for him tonight. One of the things looking closer at Clemson and why they've been so good, and Meter talked about this and you talked about it, is yak guys, yards after the catch.
Oh, yeah.
BC's got to tackle these guys because they're explosive. They break that first tackle, and they're gone.
Yep.
They turn a 10-yard gain into a 50-yard touchdown like that.
And that's not going to be about individual tackling. It's going to be about getting three or four guys around the ball. And maybe only one of you brings them down, but if you've got three or four guys there, he's got nowhere to go. So it's not necessarily about individual open field tackling because, quite honestly, there's very few people in the world that can make a surefire open field tackle all the time. You've got to limit their options. And a lot of those come on quick passes. When you watch Clemson, a lot of those come on either quick hitches. They do some of those wide receiver screens. They do the RPO where they hit that quick slant too. And it's only about a 12-yard pass, but now all of a sudden he's catching that in stride and he's going for 25 or 30 yards.
One of the most underrated players, well, he's not underrated anymore because he gets a lot of attention, but their running back, Etienne.
Yes.
That kid's explosive.
Yeah.
And he looks, reminds me a little bit, like he's a little bit of Emmitt Smith in him, but he's more of a scat back, more of a faster type of guy. But remember how Emmitt Smith would, I think people underestimated him when he was in college because he was smaller.
Right.
But he was not small. It's like people when they saw Kevin Falk.
Yep.
Kevin Falk was not small.
Yeah, he was 205.
Right.
Yeah.
But this kid can, he's got some pop to him.
But you know what else? And that's a great comparison when you talk about Emmitt Smith because Emmitt, having watched him in college and played against him, he had an unbelievable knack of taking your energy from attempted tackle and letting that energy take him away from you or downfield or whatever, so you never got a real clean hit on him. It was an uncanny thing. You think you had him lined up, and you're making a hit on him. All of a sudden, he's kind of going with the hit a little bit and not trying to fight through the hit. It was one of those things where most running backs you expect when you got them zeroed in, they're going to lower their head or lower their shoulder and try to run through you for the last hit. He would kind of let you hit him and then move with whatever motion you gave him and use that. And I saw Etienne do the exact same thing a couple of weeks ago watching him. He's kind of letting that defender, not letting him hit him, but when the defender was hitting him, he was using that energy to get more yards or to get away from the one way or the other. He's a very, very talented back.
Let's take another quick break. We're getting closer to game time. BC and Clemson here at Alumni Stadium. It's Port Stern, Steve DiAssi on WEEI. All right, that's going to just about do it for us here at Alumni Stadium. Again, you can listen to tonight's game starting at 7:30 with John Mita Perrell and Pete Cronin here on 93.7 BC and Clemson. And coming up in just a moment, you're going to hear a replay of the Bill Belichick interview on OMF and the Tom Brady interview from Kirk and Callahan. Steve, you got a prediction? How do you think this game's going to go?
They got their work cut out for them. This is a very, very good Clemson team, but I've been on a BC team that beat a very, very good Clemson team. It's going to take a little luck. It's going to take a lot of hard work, and it's going to take the ball, the defense containing. If you can hold them to under 24 points, you got a shot. It's tough to do against this offense.
24-21 BC on a last-minute field goal.
Like it.
And here's how it's going to play out. BC's going to score first, especially after Meter gave us that stat that Clemson's like 35-0 in the last 35 games they scored first. So BC's going to go up 7-0, but they're going to fall behind 17-7.
That's an awfully detailed prediction.
And then they're going to come back. It's going to be bang-bang in the second half. They're going to make a big defensive play to stop them, to set up the game-winning field goal by Lichtenberg.
I hope you are correct,
you
my friend. I love it.
And you can watch me tonight on Boston 25, and I'm going to go
taking
3 minutes
credit,
on the highlights.
Taking credit for the call. I love it. You know what? Good luck. This is going to be something that I'm looking forward to watching the game, and hope the crowd's into it.
Hey, great hanging with you, Stevie,
you too,
as
my
always.
Friend. That was great.
Good to see
a lot of fun.
Thanks to Dougie Lang. Thanks to
LeBay.
Evan Zidell.
LeBay.
And thanks to Mark
Evan.
Moroso,
no
back
problem,
in the
guys.
Studio and everything.
I trashed Evan at the what was the game we were playing earlier?
Stay tuned for some interviews, and then BC Clemson right here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.